If you're keeping score in this epic battle between the God of Israel and the gods of Egypt, the score is 4-0 in favor of God. God is sending one plague after another, literally targeting the Egyptian gods in the process. Now here we're at the fifth plague. It takes place, it's aimed at the Egyptian god Apis. Apis is depicted as a black bull. Now the Egyptians believed that by worshiping him, their flocks and their herds of cattle would be protected. In fact, one of the largest temples discovered in ancient Egypt was dedicated to the worship of Apis. Here in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 2, now God tells Moses to give Pharaoh this warning: if you refuse to let my people go and still hold them, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field. Then here in verse 4, but the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. So in other words, your god Apis doesn't protect your cattle, the God of Israel does. And the very next day, verse 6 tells us, all the livestock in the fields of the Egyptians died. But just as God had promised, now none of the livestock that belonged to Israel there in the land of Goshen died. The Israelites are now firing up their barbecue pits because Egyptian beef has just gone on sale. Now, we're told here in verse 7 that Pharaoh's heart is still hardened. Now, remember, the word for harden refers to twisting, like when you wring out a mop, what's on the inside comes out. And Pharaoh's inner defiance against God just keeps spilling out. Well, now here in verse 8, God sends the sixth plague. This one's going to reach into Egypt's priesthood. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air. Verse 9, it shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. Now notice verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians. Now these magicians were the priests of Egypt. Egyptian priests, by the way, would often scatter ashes from their altars into the sky, believing that that would bring blessing. So this plague is revealing the power of God over them and their superstition. Now, here in chapter 9, we have the next plague, the seventh plague, and this one's targeting the Egyptian sky goddess named Isis. The Egyptians believed that Isis placed a canopy of protection over their land to guard them against storms. Well, verse 23 says, the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire that is lightning ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Verse 25, the hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, and the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke, literally shattered, every tree of the field. Now, I've been in some severe thunder and lightning storms, but nothing like this. This hailstorm, you could have gone bowling with these hailstones. They were large enough to shatter a forest of trees. No wonder Pharaoh here calls an emergency meeting with Moses and Aaron and says to them here in verse 27, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there's been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go. In other words, I've seen enough of our goddess Isis. She's nothing compared to the God of Israel. But wouldn't you know it, as soon as the storm clouds clear away, Pharaoh changes his mind and his heart, again, is hardened. It's like wringing out a dirty mop with filthy, defiant, sinful water spilling out all over again. Well, with that, the eighth plague takes place here in chapter 10. And with this one, God is going to destroy the remaining crops that are left standing. But you need to understand that what God is really doing with this plague is showing his power over all the false gods of Egypt. The Egyptians worshipped a host of what we would call minor gods, like the gods of flax, the god of grain, a god that guarded the fields, even a god that supposedly protected their crops from insects. They had an annual festival where they exalted all these minor gods. Some Bible scholars believe, and I would believe with them, that it was during this annual festival that God sends the eighth plague. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Well, here in verses 3 through 6, Moses warns Pharaoh that if he won't let the Israelites go, locusts are going to sweep in and consume the remaining vegetation. And by now, even Pharaoh's wise men, his priests, they're telling Pharaoh, let those Israelites go. We've had enough. In fact, they even tell him here in verse 7, do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined? No. He's so defiant, he refuses to recognize the obvious that his country is now bankrupt. Well, as God promised, the next morning a swarm of locusts sweeps into Egypt. Verse 15 here reads, they covered the face of the whole land so that the land was darkened. And they ate all the plants in the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained through all the land of Egypt. Well, Pharaoh turns on the crocodile tears again here in verse 16, but he has no intention of changing his mind. His emotions are affected, but his heart remains unrepentant. With that, the ninth plague arrives. Now God doesn't send Moses this time to warn Pharaoh. God simply sends a plague of darkness. And again, this plague now is going to strike at Egypt's highest and most exalted god, the sun god, Ra. Well, here in verse 21, God sends complete darkness, what we would call pitch black darkness. 3 days without light. Beloved, this totally destroys the foundation of Egyptian idolatry. It destroys any credibility Pharaoh has remaining as supposedly the offspring of the sun god. The sun god, Egypt's chief god, is turned out like a light bulb by the power of Israel's God. And let me tell you, this is true to this day. Without the God of Israel, you live in the darkness of unbelief. The Apostle Paul writes that without Christ, we were at one time in darkness, but now through Christ, we are in the light of the Lord. Ephesians 5:8. Well, here's Pharaoh, a man who leads a bankrupt nation, a defeated host of false gods, and he says to Moses here in verse 28, get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. For on the day you see my face, you shall die. And Moses, frankly, responds prophetically, and he says, well, as you say, I will not see your face again. And that's exactly what will happen. You know, to this day, Pharaoh represents everyone who defies the true and living God. He illustrates here in flesh and blood, living color, someone who refuses to see the hand of Creator God. He refuses to listen to the command, the word of God, and ultimately he refuses to obey the will of God. What about you today? Well, let me urge you to take a good look around and see and relish and savor the work of the hand of your Creator God. Let me encourage you to listen to the Word of God, ultimately to obey the will of God. He is your life-giving, light-giving, gracious, faithful Lord. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.